audience is listening.
Lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, talking men now, surrounding and you.
Lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
I got me.
Saw a thing in the paper the other day. Dodging some ID theft, not so easy. As you know, I don't mean to brag, it's just a fact, I have the perfect credit. I have the absolutely, my credit is so good it looks suspicious. But when you've been in the credit business for 20 years, you kind of learn the little tricks there. And my credit is so good, some hand job would love to steal my credit. Oh, they would love to steal my credit. If someone stole my credit card and went to buy $100,000 or something, they'd say, no, I don't think so. But if you stole Joe Torre's credit card and wanted to buy $100,000, well, they'd know who Joe Torre is, but you know what I mean. If somebody was rich, somebody used to buying, someone used to putting $250,000 a month on their American Express card, yeah, his identity would be more fun to steal than mine. But to protect myself, and that's why I'm doing this rant, I called the credit bureau. I told them to put a hold on my credit. So if we run into a situation where we need a TV or a refrigerator or washer dryer, that kind of thing, I can handle that kind of credit on my credit card. So I called the credit bureau, the Tulsa Credit Bureau, and told them, put a big hold on mine. Anybody who wants to get credit using my name, make them show you the ID, make them pull down their pants, show you the scar, go through the whole riff. But just because someone says his name's Barkop, do not give him access to my credit. Oh, some of the horror stories. It says here, there's this company called Choice Point in Georgia that they announced they had 145,000 identities stolen from their files. So that's 145,000 people who are going to have to go to the credit bureau and say, no, that's not me. Think how terrible. You go to Sears and you try to buy a sweater and they say, oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Cop, but you're on the blacklist. You can't buy nothing here because you went crazy with your credit. And you're going, what? What? And then you go up to the credit department. They explain that you've got a wake of destruction in your past of, you know, you don't pay your bills. We can't loan you anymore money. You say, well, I didn't do that. I didn't go to this place. I didn't buy that car. I didn't go to Europe. I didn't go here. I didn't go there. And say, sorry, your credit history says you did. So now you're in deep, deep trouble. So what you do then is put the hold on your credit account and kind of start another one or whatever. It turns into a major hassle. I hadn't had it done to me. I've heard it done. And it's just awful because you can't use your credit cards. You get pulled over. Someone sees your driver's, your license plate. You get pulled over. You could get arrested. You get all kinds of trouble. And if you're going to be a thief, if you're going to be an identity thief, wouldn't you want to go to the Cadillac place and order one of them new Cadillac? You know, there's a new Cadillac looks kind of like a Corvette. Don't know if you've seen it, but yeah, if you're going to screw up, you're not going to go buy you a 95 Grand Prix. No, you're going to buy you a brand new badass Cadillac convertible that looks like a Corvette, and you're going to drive that like crazy, and then at some point you get pulled over. But anyway, the only reason I bring this up, unless you anticipate using your credit in the next few months, it wouldn't hurt for everybody to put a hold on your credit. All that means is if you do go somewhere, say all of a sudden you need something. You need carpeting for the house. It's going to be $3,000. You call the credit bureau and say, hey, I'm going to the carpet place. I'm going to buy some carpet. So if they call, that's okay. It's me. Here's my Social Security number. Here's my, you know, whatever. It just wouldn't hurt. So if you got a minute, call your credit bureau, put a hold on your credit. It might save your butt. If anyone out there had their credit stolen, write to me a short little deal about what happened, right? You know, maybe 500 words about what happened and who did it and did they catch the guy and what it cost you and how much hassle it was. There might be some interesting reading, but don't let somebody steal your credit. If you got really bad credit, it don't matter. No one's going to want to steal your credit if it's really bad. But if you got some good credit, if you're a homeowner, been on the job a while, if you pay your bills, you don't want to lose that, so take care of that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Here we go. Justice is wary of stopping land seizures. I don't know why the Democrats on the Supreme Court think it's okay for the government to steal your land.
Sir? I have your balls right here.
This is just as crazy as it can be. Now, as always, like torture, like with a thousand other things, what you have is your rule, and then if somehow an exception to the rule comes up, you may have to address it. Here we go. Justice is wary of stopping land seizure. Connecticut city plans for private development. Now, see, it makes... Oh, here, I'll just read you the story. Supreme Court justices expressed skepticism Tuesday about whether they should interfere with decisions by local officials to condemn property and turn it over to private businesses to try to boost the economy. The justices heard arguments in a Connecticut case to test whether local governments can use their power of eminent domain to seize property not just to clear the way for public projects such as roads and parks, but also for private developments aimed at increasing tax revenue. It's an issue that's risen across the nation as cities have sought new ways to promote growth in depressed areas. I remember years and years ago, I had to argue, I think this was one of my first forays into an actual internet chat room. We had, back then, and we were on Prodigy, and we had our little tiny gene pool there in Prodigy, but once we got into the big World Wide Web, I was arguing with some monkeys in California. They were against the government seizing land, seizing private property for public use. And I think everybody agrees, well, apparently not the Democratic Supreme Court justices, but everybody agrees, if the government is going to take your land from you, they better have a goddamn good fucking stone-cold hard reason why they're doing it. And I can think of two off the top of my... I don't think a park is a good reason to do that. You know, like Central Park, it's there now because there was a time, apparently, I'm guessing, those hundreds of years ago, where they called that a park first and they built around it. I don't think... You can't go into Manhattan and say, okay, we're going to pull out these 40 square miles of houses and apartments and offices and turn that into a park. That's not going to happen. You don't take land to make a park. I think you take land if you're going to build an interstate highway. That makes a lot of sense. I remember as a kid growing up in St. Louis, they took a giant swipe right out of the middle of St. Louis and they turned it into Interstate 40. And I know there was people mad about that, but you know, a city grows. You have to be able to move in the city. A city can't exist without roads, without subways, that kind of thing. Building roads or subways. Remember, I don't know the big dig in Boston. I suppose there's a big thing about seizing land there, but they need to. You need to be able to move traffic through Boston. You've all heard it takes whatever 2 hours to get through downtown Boston in the afternoon or in the morning, whatever, and that's crazy. The city's got to be able to move. So highways, subways, buses, overhead. What's it called? That rail. Above ground rail, whatever that's called. That's a good reason. And airports, I think, is another good reason. Denver's airport is 30 or 40 or something miles out of town. And that's, I don't know why they did that. Probably some illegal graft was involved. The mayor's brother-in-law owned some land 60 miles away, so they decided to buy that land so his brother-in-law could get rich and they could split the money. That's how most things happen in this country politically. So if you're building a highway, if you're building an airport, you may have to seize some land. But what they're doing now, because Bush has so fucked the economy, he has so ruined America's economy, that what they're doing, let's say Walmart wants to come into town, and they'd like to put a store at 5th and Main. Well, to do that, we're going to have to push 400 people out of their houses. Or say 400 houses could affect 1,000 people. Now, are you going to tear down 400 houses and make 1,000 people move just so Walmart can come into town? That's not a good deal. And one of the biggest reasons, you got the same problem with the graft. You know, what if Donald Trump says he wants to come into your town and build a big office building? Well, Trump might kick you back, the mayor, the governor, somebody, $10, $20 million on the side to get his project built. That's an enormous temptation that mayors and governors and city councilmen ought not to be able to be tempted with. Sure, you can be grafted when it comes to a subway or an airport, but you're talking about a much bigger scale. You'd have to grease a lot of palms, and the grease would have to come from a lot of people. You're talking about an airport. You're talking about an office building. There are some people you could probably tear down 5-10 houses and build an office building. But how dare the city or the state or the county just walk in? This story here I'm reading to you in Connecticut, some of these people have been in this house like for four generations. You know, great-grandpa built this house in 1880. And now the city just decides for no reason they're going to come in and tear down Grandpa's house because a developer would like to come in? Oh, that's just criminal. I can't believe these people are standing for it. But it continues to get worse. You would think not seizing a private man's land to help business make a few more dollars would be a staple of Americana. But no, it's not even a staple for Democrats. Just as Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, New London, whose unemployment rate has been about twice the state's rate, is a depressed community trying to generate jobs. She suggested by her questions that the city could justify using eminent domain to redevelop 90 acres near Fort Trumbull State Park. So Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg just said, screw you, screw your land, screw your history with this state. You know, it's something else. If you buy a house, you know, in 2005, and the government comes in 2006, says you have to move, well, that might be one thing. But the idea that if these people lived on this land for 100 years, for all we know, great-grandpa had a heart attack and died clearing the stumps off this land. You know, back in the old days, men really worked. They worked hard. I mean, what's it like to work in the fields for 18 hours a day, clearing the land and pulling rocks and tree trunks and everything else out of your land so you can get enough smooth land to farm and raise enough food to feed your family, and that gets passed down to his son and then his son and then his son, and now the government comes in and says, all that is for shit. We want to steal your land and we're going to do it. Well, of course these people ought to take up arms and fire on those who come to steal their land, because it's one thing. Like the example with the interstate highway. You can't have the interstate highway making sharp left and right turns because Uncle Willie didn't want to sell his land. If the state has an overwhelming interest in a highway or an airport or something, this might have to be done under the rarest of circumstances, like the torture. But just that idea, if Walmart or Trump wants to come into town, well, hey, if that's the perfect spot for your store or for your office complex, why don't you write a check? Why don't you write these people a check? And I know there are going to be some people for whom no amount of money will do it. If their land is worth $500,000, maybe there could be a formula worked out. I don't know. But say your land is worth $500,000, maybe you get an extra 5 or 10% for every year you've been there. So if you've been there 100 years, yeah, now you owe the guy $50 million and he's not going to pay, so they're not going to do it. If Trump or Walmart has to have that land, let him write a damn check. You know, who of us gets to ride around town saying, oh, I like this spot. I like this intersection here. Whoever owns it, I'm going to have the city condemn it so I can take it over because I like it. That's not America. That's not how things work. But that's how things are in America now. A, because Bush has ruined the economy so bad that these states and cities now are desperate to somehow stay alive to raise enough money, so they're inviting these companies in. Hey, Walmart, why don't you come build a store here? We won't charge any sales tax. We're going to steal the land from these people here and give it to you, or let you have it for, well, yeah, they'll just give it to Walmart, because Walmart, oh, they're going to bring in so much money on their tax base and their payroll tax and all that. But you just ought not to be able to steal someone's land. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg thinks so. Now here, check out Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who I know was appointed by Reagan, but you'd think women be a little more smarter than this. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor questioned whether judges should second-guess local officials. Oh, please! What the point is having a judge if he's not allowed to judge? And you talk about local officials, you talk about a mayor on the take. I don't think an honest mayor would do this. How is an honest mayor going to go push a bunch of people out of their homes that they've had for 100 years because somebody wants their property? That's just a crime. Way to go, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Justice David Souter suggested a city should have broad discretion to seize property. If I'm not mistaken, Souter was appointed by Clinton. What's wrong with these people? These are Democrats saying the city should have broad discretion to seize property. What the hell kind of reasoning is that? Justice Anthony Kennedy asked how courts should distinguish between projects that involved only private economic development and those that could benefit neighborhoods that are not blighted. Well, we're going to tear down your house because the mayor thinks a park would look nice here. That's not how that works. You can't do that to people. Again, the railroad, the highway, some things have to be. But not because someone thinks a park would look good here. You're going to make me move. You're going to take my house. You're going to take my land because someone likes the idea of a... Now, see, this is how liberals get that bad name. Here comes the big trouble for old Bart. Guess who agrees with me? And he ought to agree with you, too, and you ought to agree with him. Justice Three Fingers Tony Scalia. express sympathy for the property owners. He knows that some of them have been on the land for most of their lives and do not want to sell for any price. Does that count for nothing? He asked. Now look, how did I end up on the same side of this as Tony Scalia? How can liberals be pro-stealing a man's land? Again, if there's a reason, if it has to be, then it has to be. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the mayor, the council, thinks it ought to be this way. So that's why you're losing your land, sir. That's why we're taking your farm from you. Your farm from 100 years when your great-grandfather passed down to you. We're going to take that from you because the council that was in place from 1995 to 1996, they decided that a park would look better where your farm is. Why am I agreeing with Tony Scalia? Why am I disagreeing with Ginsburg, O'Connor, Souter, and Kennedy? What the hell's wrong here? Of course, Slappy is nowhere to be found. I guess there was a new porn collection came out somewhere. He was busy. But I just don't know what the world is coming to when I have to agree with Scalia. Why should anybody be allowed to come steal your property for no good reason?
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them, turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black person. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman that's she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one that it's a little woman that looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the hell out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black person is still, oh, pieces of okay, he's up on the car. The little woman just beating him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's talking to him as he's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
As if America didn't have enough image problems in the world, Here comes a headline for you. Castro hints that U.S. out to murder Chavez in Venezuela. Havana. Fidel Castro warned that the life of leftist Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is in danger, said he would blame Bush if his close friend and ally is killed. Castro's remarks came during a six-hour speech. Wow. Castro's remarks came during a six-hour speech that lasted until 4 a.m. Saturday. He closed the International Globalization Conference in Havana, attended by hundreds of economists. If Chavez is assassinated, the responsibility will entirely lie with President Bush, Castro said, noting that Bush has encouraged Chavez's opponents in the past. Castro said Chavez's left-leaning revolution threatens the interests of powerful people who tried to oust him with a short-lived coup in 2002 and several political campaigns against him. This is true. Bush and the CIA got together with the oil companies and they decided to take out Chavez because Venezuela is, I guess, the third or fourth biggest oil producer in the world. And when Bush sees oil, he says, let's kill the sons of bitches and steal all their oil. That's what Bush does when he sees a country with oil. Why do you think he was elected to be president? Why was he put in the White House? To steal oil for the oil companies, to make them more hundreds of billions of dollars. Profits are up in the hundreds of billions. They're just making so much money, and they want more. They'll never have enough. They want more. They want it all. Oil is going to $300 a barrel. Listen to me. An eventual attempt to kill Chavez would aim to halt the changes happening in the South American nation, Castro said, the same way the United States and others tried to eliminate him as he turned Cuba into a socialist country. With me, they've already lost their time. This has become too advanced, the 78-year-old Cuban said. But the situation in Venezuela is in a crucial stage. Countless assassination plots against Castro and his closest advisors have been disclosed through the more than four decades of his rule. Chavez on Saturday thanked the Cuban leader for his remarks. Thank you, Fidel. It is true there is information, he said, while visiting areas affected by heavy rains. No one cares. They're not going to succeed, my dear friend. You will see that they will not, added the 50-year-old. I will become an old man like you. Ties between Chavez and the Bush administration soured after Washington's initial endorsement of a 2002 coup. They didn't endorse it. They caused it. They flew people down there to drag his ass out and shoot him in the head. But he had video cameras rolling at the time, and there was too many of them for him to stop. And Bush didn't want videotapes a la Rodney King to show up on the evening news of American soldiers pulling Chavez out of his presidential palace and shooting him in the head. And then waving Viva Bush and putting their W fingers in the air. They didn't like that, so they had to call it off. Talk about endorsed. Oh, please blow me. While Castro devoted much of his speech to Chavez, he also said that after a decade of crisis, Cuba's economy was financially, no one cares. But that's our monkey. If he sees oil, he steals it. If he sees someone in his way, he murders them. But we're a Christian nation, and he's a godly man, so we don't mind. What the fuck is wrong with this country? And when is the real America going to come back so we can be proud of our country again?
He may be rude from Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, but he's armed with his tequila and the truth to give the red ass to any ditto monkey out there. It's Bart Cop Radio.
Comenzaré yo a relatarles este historino es de allá. Leyenda que contaba chulo viejo de barrio en barrio, boca a boca, en la calzada, a los oídos del curioso rellenaba. Ja, ja, había una vez una pareja de provistas, boca vista, sin dinero, pensando atómico, Tony.